Valentine's Day has come and gone. Yes, Valentine's Day has come and gone. But snow has come, but it's still here. Winter is still here. I'm still here. You're still here. And we're here today to talk about life and the life we have in God and just worship and spend a few moments together this morning. Hey, I want you to think about, have you ever had one of those moments of pure, raw inspiration? I mean, just incredible inspiration of where you were more creative than you've ever been before, where you've written something in a way you've never written before, where you've played a sport maybe in a way that you've never ever played before. You've played in levels above anything you thought were humanly possible. You know, maybe you had a paper you had to write in college, maybe an English paper or Chinese paper, or is it Farsi papers? They call it Farsi papers? I don't know. All these different languages, Farsi paper. You have this paper to write, and you've written a number of papers before. But this paper was different. It was almost like all the creative forces of the universe sort of just descended upon your mortal human body, and you began to write. And you didn't even have to think. It just sort of flowed through you, and you would just sit there and didn't have to do anything. And you begin to write and type, and it's just, you were in it. And once you'd finished, you'd written a document that was so thought-provoking and so insightful. A greater piece of work had never been written in the history of the world. Or maybe you played a sport, you know, ping pong, soccer, football, tennis, basketball. All right, basketball. Let's go with that. And you were in the zone. And you were playing like you had never, ever played before. You thought you were in the Matrix. You know, everything was like slow motion except you. And the basket was about 10 feet wider than it's ever been before. And it didn't matter what you threw up, it went in each and every time. In fact, you thought you were so awesome that day, you could have closed your eyes and you could have shot it from half court and it would still gone in. Because you were in the zone and you were creating. Or maybe you played an instrument, a trumpet, flute, clarinet. And your professor gave you a piece to play before the class. And you played a lot of pieces before, but today it was different. You and your instrument became one. And you played like you never had played before. And the sound of music was greater and more incredible than anyone had ever heard in their entire lifetime. You ever have one of those moments of creativity, of inspiration, of being part of something beyond yourself? That's where Paul is at today. Paul, one of Jesus' disciples. Paul wrote more books in the New Testament than any other writer. And he wrote a lot of incredible scriptures and books and put them all together and insights about God and the world and everything that involved with that. But there's some passages that Paul wrote that were more amazing and more fantastic and more incredible than all the other passages. And 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is one of those passages. It's almost as if Paul had placed himself before God, and God through his Holy Spirit began to flow through Paul. And began, he was in such a state of inspiration that is if God took his hand and began to write on the parchment paper and help Paul create and write words about the most powerful of all human emotions, the emotion of love. In the years about AD 56, Paul's writing a letter to the church of new Christians in the city of Corinth, which is one of the major trading cities of Greece, ancient Greece. And they were trying to figure out what it meant to be church together and do church together, what it meant to follow Jesus in relationships with other people, other Christians. And so Paul writes to them the 13th chapter of Corinthians, which has been called the love chapter, right? Now, in Christian marriages, this passage of Scripture is used more than any other passages at the weddings. Well, you think about it, it's a passage, a chapter, it's on love. And weddings are all about two people who have fallen in love. So it just makes sense. Love chapter, two people have fallen in love. Paul's writing about love, but Paul's not writing to two people who have fallen in love. Paul is writing to a group of Christians who, because of the difficulty of their relationships together, their church is in danger of falling apart. And so he writes to them about what it means to be in relationship together. You know, they were in community. They had come from very different backgrounds, from unbelief to belief, from lives without God and lives without Jesus, to lives where they have been changed by the power of God and Jesus living and working through them. And the Jesus that had saved them brought them together in relationship in this thing called the church. And when people become believers and followers of Jesus, there's an understanding that God lives in us and begins to express himself in us. And he gives us certain gifts and talents, and he takes the gifts we have and makes them more spiritual. He gives us spiritual gifts. And we begin to use our spiritual gifts that we've received from God to minister to each other in the context, the community of the church. And God had given all these brand new Christians all these brand new spiritual gifts. And they had a problem because each of one of them felt their gifts was better than the other Christian's gift, more important. In fact, we find in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28, it just sort of landed it all out. And it says, "And in the church, God has appointed first of all apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, then workers of miracles, also those having gifts of healing, those able to help others, those with gifts of administration, and those speaking in different kinds of tongues." Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, do all work miracles, do all have gifts of healing, do all speak in tongues, do all interpret? You know, all these new believers had all these new spiritual gifts, and they thought their gift was better than the next Christians. Oh, man, my gift of being apostles is more important than your gift of doing miracles. Or my gift of prophecy is more important than your gift of teaching. Well, no, it isn't. Yes, it is. No, it isn't. Yes, it is. And they were all sort of battling back and forth, missing out on the main point of what had brought them together to begin with. So in order to bring them back together, to help them understand what it meant to be Christians through what God had done in their lives, Paul writes in this passage to talk to them about relationships, not only between a husband and wife, or between a person and their friends, or between people in a church, or in a community, or a nation, or in a world, but all human relationships all at all times. Paul lays out the essence, the core essence, of what is required and what it takes for us to be together. And so he writes this chapter on love. Before we get in this chapter on love, we, I think, need to agree upon what love is exactly, okay? All right, if I'm going to ask a question. All right, what is love? What would you say love is? Love is what? As you're sitting there, well, Scott sent us a question. What is love? How would you define love? Patient? Okay, patient. What is love? Kind? What is love? Caring. What is love?
Caring.
Caring. Double caring. What is love? What is love? Let's be creative here. Aren't you feeling creative juices? Come on. Like, what is love?
Generosity.
Is that it? Are we out? Others before self. Dwayne's stepping on out there. Here we go. Others before self. All right, I looked up in the dictionary. Here's the dictionary version, definition of love. Love is a deep feeling of affection for or attachment or devotion to a person or persons. It's an expression of one's love or affection to another. It's a feeling of brotherhood and goodwill towards other people. All right, what is the one thing that these definitions I have in common? What is the one thing they all have in common? Feelings. Okay, more. Come on. More. Feelings. All right. Love always involves at least two people, right? Love always involves at least two people. We can say there are some people, they just love themselves. Well, that's not love. That's narcissism. Okay, that's not love. All right. Love always involves at least as a minimum of two people, all right? There's always the originator and always the object of love. All right. I say I love Carol. All right. When I think of Carol, I'm experiencing feelings of love, of devotion to, of affection for, deep affection for. I'm experiencing that because I'm the originator and I'm thinking of Carol, the object, and therefore I'm experiencing these emotions towards her, all right? And there's always involves more than one person, at least two people. And so Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 31, in verse 13, and following in chapter 13, to this church, about what they're experiencing and how to deal with the sort of chaos that's being created. He writes, but eagerly desire the greater gifts, spiritual gifts, but now I will show you the most excellent way. You know, Paul says to desire all these spiritual gifts that God gives us, the spirituality that we have, but he says, but there's a even better way than all these gifts together. And that's the gift of love. And he starts out. And he says, verse 1, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or clanging cymbal. All right. One of the spiritual gifts the new believers were experiencing was called the gift of speaking in tongues. And some of you are wondering, well, what in the world is that? All right, it's sort of like this. Remember the last time that something exciting happened in your life? And you were so excited about it, you were trying to share it with a friend or somebody you cared about. But your mind was racing, the words in your mind were faster than the words could come out of your mouth. And so you try to tell everything about what had happened to you, and you went really fast and spoke really quick like this, and tried to say, man, then you went, and you said so fast, and you tried to say it all at one time that the person could not understand anything you said. Or that's sort of the way it was in this New Testament church, these new Christians. They had experienced God. They had been changed by His Son, Jesus Christ. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. They were this new life that was part of them. And they were trying to express this the spiritual gift of speaking in tongues, but they spoke so fast and so different that no one could really understand what they were saying. And it came out like gibberish. And we don't understand everything about what this meant and what this looks like. But Paul is saying to them, you know, even if you speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but I have not love, I'm only a resounding gong or clanging cymbal. You know, when I hear this tongue of men of angels, I don't think of speaking in tongues. You know what I think about? I think about somebody. All right. The voice of one who speaks the tongue of men and of angels. I think of James Earl Jones. Everybody know James Earl Jones? Everybody knows who that is, Anna? Do you know James Earl Jones, the actor? He's the voice of Darth Vader, Star Wars. You know, when I hear James Earl Jones speak, I think that's what God would sound like. If God really spoke to me in audible voice, it said, Scott, I would think God would sound like James Earl Jones. Or I guess maybe James Earl Jones would sound like God. But even if you spoke in tongues, or even if you had the voice of James Earl Jones and you thought your voice was as awesome as James Earl Jones and had not love, you would really be sounding only like Steve Urkel, okay, which is a really nerdy guy. And notice Paul used the word I. He used the word I. That he sees this in his life. Even if he Paul, had this gift and he had not love, it's only like clanging, banging cymbals together that just sound really bad. And the gift of love is greater than the gift of tongues. And then Paul goes on. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but have not love, I am nothing. Paul says, if I have the gift of prophecy and I could tell, look into the future and understand all the mysteries of the future, or if I have all knowledge, and if I can understand, if it can be known that Paul says, and I know it, even if I have that kind of knowledge in the present, or even more than that, even beyond that, Paul says, even if I have all faith, such a faith in God, in myself, and such a faith that I can say to this mountain, move mountain, and all of a sudden the mountain gets up and move, Paul says, even if I have all this knowledge and wisdom and faith and have not love, I am nothing. You ever have been around somebody who's a know-it-all? A know-it-all kind of person? They seem to have an opinion about everything. Their opinion always seems to be right. I remember back in class in college, we had a guy in our class. I hated to have classes with him, because I remember the math class, he was the worst. We'd have math class, and we'd be in math class, and the professor would want to release us early, and he'd begin to release us, and sometimes say, are there any other questions? I'm looking at my watch, man, I'm out of here. He would inevitably raise his hand, and said, sir, I have a question. But you know, the thing is, this guy never really had a question. He didn't have a question that he needed the professor to answer. He had already answered the question himself. He just wanted to ask the question to the professor so that he could show the professor how much incredible knowledge he had. And he said, sir, I have a question. He said, call on him. He said, well, sir, according to my calculations, is this correct? And the professor, yes, Jim, it is correct. And we would all, oh, he's so wise. He's so great. Oh, great one. Thank you for blessing us with your awesome wisdom. Man, all I wanted to do was get out of that class, go back to my room, and take a nap. know-it-alls. But Paul said, even if I'm a know-it-all, if I have all knowledge, if I have all wisdom, if I have prophecy, if mysteries, if I have faith, I can have all this. And Paul says we can have all that, even to have all that and have not in love. Paul says, I am nothing at all. The gift of love is greater than the gift of knowledge. And he then writes, and if I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. Even if I sacrifice everything I hold dear to me in this world, everything that I can call mine, even my last and most precious possession, my very life, my body, Paul says, I gain nothing. You know, the gift of speech, the gift of knowledge, the gift of sacrifice. You know, and the thing is, Paul's saying it's possible to have all these gifts. You can have all these gifts and so many more. The gift of speaking, incredible. The gift of knowledge and wisdom. The gift of sight. You can have all these gifts and so many, many more. But without love, without a deep affection and longing and concern for others, you are nothing. Because if you don't have a concern and a love and a deep affection for other people, you will only live life for yourself. And you'll use all these gifts for yourself. And you'll use all these things for your name and for your notoriety and who you are. You'll use all these things for yourself. And Paul says, if you have all these things and you don't have this love which will focus all these gifts that you have, all these talents that you have on other people, and if you don't have a devotion, an affection for other people, and you focus totally, entirely upon yourself, you are nothing. And we'll have a life that will amount to very, very little. You know, there's a saying that we have. The smallest object in the world is a person all wrapped up into themselves. The smallest thing in the world is a person that's all wrapped up in themselves. But Jesus came to show us the most excellent way of love. And he said this way of love, he said, greater love has no one than this, and he laid down his life for his friends. There's all these gifts, but there's no greater gift of love. You see, love is not about self. Love is about others. Love is not what you can get out of life. Love is about what you can put in the life. Love is not about what you can gain, but what you can give away. Love is not about how you can hold on to your life and cling to what you have and be safe and secure and happy. Love is about how you can lay down your life for the world and make a difference in this world that Jesus came to lay his life down for. There's great gifts, but the greatest is love. And greater love is expressed in this fashion, that no one that they lay down his or her life for their friends. And then Jesus says, and I call you friends, as he went to the cross to lay down his life for us. Jesus came to show us the most excellent way of love. And he's inviting you to begin your journey on that most excellent way with him. And you begin by taking that first step with him and giving your life to Jesus, who gave his life for you. And tell Jesus, Jesus, I give you my life. I give you my life. Just giving your life to Jesus who gave his life to you. Amazing love. How can it be that you, my King, would give your life for me? Amazing love. I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you with all I do. I honor you. Jesus, I give you my life. Dear God, man, you've called us to be together in this world. You've called us to be in relationship in this church. And you showed us how to be in relationship. It is a relationship that is based first and foremost on the command to love others. And you gave us the example, and you gave your life and laid down your life in your act of love for us. And as we take our gifts, as we take our spiritual gifts that you've given us, and we use them to be a blessing to others, we use them because we love others, as we use these gifts for others, it shows them the most excellent way, the way of Jesus, who went to the cross, who out of love gave his life for us. Dear God, help us to love the way you love. Help us to live the way you live. And help us to change this world and bring others into that relationship of love with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.